fellow travelers to a long and endless eternity. When I was a boy growing up, I remember a minister used to come to our congregation occasionally, and that's how he would always open his greeting. How many of you remember that? I saw one hand. M.S. Stalsus, the elderly minister from the Simmontown congregation. Fellow travelers to a long and endless eternity. I believe that would be Wayne and Lamar's great-grandpa. If I remember correctly, he's long gone to his reward. Well, greetings in the very precious name of Jesus, the one who has brought us salvation, the one that we come to love because of what he has done for us. Stimulating mission vision in the next generation. I've enjoyed your singing tonight. I do want to sing a verse of one more song. I think we all know it. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. How many of you know that song? You all got that? Let's stand and sing the first verse of that. Sing it like it comes from your heart and it's how you feel. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Thank you for that. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Now, you sang that testimony just a few seconds ago. Is that the way I live? Preparing this message has been a challenge to me, has caused me to search my life and my heart. Because I love my Jesus, and I tell people I love my Jesus, but do I speak enough about him? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. We could have sang more verses there. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Is that your testimony here this evening? If it is, you truly, like you heard a bit ago, are among the blessed, that you have come to know Jesus, that you have come to know God. There are so many people in the world today who do not know God. It gives us responsibility. Point number one, as we think of stimulating, inspiring, motivating the next generation into mission work, point number one, let's examine the scope of the task of mission work. Missions and evangelism. It's a large undertaking. The field is vast. The field is white, all ready to harvest, the scriptures tell us. And the days are few. Many are perishing. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a never-dying soul." Every individual who has been born into this world ever since our first parents, as they began to breathe, as they were conceived and were born into the world, they became a living soul that will live on for eternity, forever and forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, in heaven or in hell. I remember as a boy growing up listening to the late Ivan Steinhauer preach. I'll share a bit about him a little bit later. But he would tell us that when he first started going to the Mennonite church at the mission in Norristown, that by the clock there was a tract that was taped there that said 83 a minute. 83 what a minute? He said what that tract meant was that there was 83 never dying souls going to heaven or hell every minute. 83 a minute. That number is much bigger today. Now behind me on the board there are some numbers. The top one is a very large number, 8,200,000,000. That's a big number. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Well, tonight, that's a lot of people. We are told that that's how many people live on this planet approximately today. 8,200,000,000 people. Now, if that number were $8 billion, $8,200,000,000, alongside of, on a scale of 8,200,000,000 people, which are of the greater value? The people. What is the value of one soul? What shall a man gain if he profit, if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What is the value of one soul? There's not a dollar value on a soul. There are 8,200,000,000 living souls, never dying souls, living on this planet as of tonight. The second number, 172,824 people die every day. I can't comprehend that. 172,824 people are born and die every day. You know, the population is slowly increasing. And so each day there's approximately that many people born, and there's that many people that go to their eternal destiny. That converts into every hour 7,201 people go into an endless eternity. 7,201 people every day, every hour. And that converts to approximately 120 per minute. Every one of those souls either knows God, lives for God, or does not know of God, or knows of God and has rejected Him. We want to stimulate mission vision in the next generation. That's why we're looking at the scope of the task. Moving down just a little bit further on that board, the next number is what's happening in China. Just in the country of China. In China, 32,077 people go to their eternal destiny every day. 32,077 people in China alone go to their eternal destination every day. How many of them know about your Jesus, know about God? Is China a friendly country to Christianity? We don't believe it is. 1,337 of them go to their eternal reward, whether it's heaven or hell, depending on their knowledge of God and their acceptance of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, 1,337 every hour. In the country of India, the next number down, 26,604 people go to their eternal destiny every day. Do we know India to be a friendly country to Christianity and God and the things of God? We don't understand them to be open to that. 1,109 per hour go to their eternal destiny. In the United States of America, coming closer home, 8,460 go to their eternal destiny every day. Here in this country in which you and I live, 8,460 a day, 352 every hour. I don't know how many people are here tonight, but just to try to put it in perspective, nearly as many people as are here tonight die and go to their eternal reward every hour in the United States. To heaven or to hell? In Bangladesh, the bottom numbers, where our brethren are serving and endeavoring to bring the gospel, 2,464 people a day go to their eternal destination, 103 every hour. Is it possible, and we believe it has happened, that because of the efforts of our brothers and sisters who have gone to do mission in the country of Bangladesh, that some of those souls are saved souls because of their efforts? Praise the Lord! There are brothers and sisters who have been willing to go and serve the Lord in that capacity. And their willingness to go has been a testament of what the Lord has done in their life, and they believe can and wants to do in the lives of others. And they've taken the message there. So hopefully in those numbers, at least some, because of their efforts, are finding their eternal destiny with God and the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. Praise his name. These statistics should stimulate and motivate us to action individually and collectively, as families, as congregations, and as conferences. Point number two, heed the call of God through the scriptures, stimulating mission vision in the next generation. Heed the call of God through the scriptures. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the call of God, the command of God. You here tonight are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Are we being faithful in that calling? Matthew 28, this passage was referenced already. Matthew 28, the Great Commission, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Go, teach, and baptize. Make men and women aware of God and the calling of God on their lives and the provision of Jesus Christ, your Jesus, who has saved your soul, wants to save their souls. Go and teach is the Great Commission. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And where all is that? Where might God call us to? But you shall be witnesses unto me in Carlisle, in Sunbury, in Lancaster, in Pottstown, in Lebanon, in Edmonton, Alberta, in Reading. Name the towns and cities close to where you live. We are called to be spreading the gospel. And we have been given the power through the Holy Spirit to do it. We don't need to do it in our own strength. God will equip us if we will dedicate ourselves to service. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only a reasonable response that the child of God who has been cleansed and purged by the blood of Jesus, it's the only natural response that he should then give his life a sacrifice and serve the Lord in helping others to find the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, you are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I am looking into the faces of ambassadors, of representatives of a heavenly country. Are you representing that heavenly country in your daily lives? Or as people would observe your life, do they see people who are citizens of this world? Where's our heart? Where's our vision? The common thread that we saw through those scriptures that we just looked at that remind us of God's call to the child of God is to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, go teach all nations, witness in the cities, and be ambassadors for Christ. Commands, but really for the child of God who has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, it shouldn't feel like a command. It ought to feel like an opportunity. Are we facing it that way? Are we truly being a witness for God? Again and again in my notes, I wrote, love God, love and serve people. Have the compassion of Christ. Christ looked out over Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks, and you would not. Is that the kind of yearning that you have as you stand, as it were, on the hill by your place and look out across your neighborhood, that you wish that they all could know the Jesus that you've come to love and serve? Are you so burdened for them? Point number three. Reflections on missions. I'll apologize and not try to make this take too long in this section. You come to hear story time with Grandpa Jim. But as I reflected on this message and the call to have a mission mentality, my mind went back to my childhood growing up. My family grew up in the Franconia Conference. And in the 40s before my time, 1940s before my time, in the 50s, the Franconia Conference and the Lancaster Conference both were very active in starting missions. Small mission churches dotted out throughout the area. And I remember when I was just 4 or 5 years old, it was my first time to visit the Bridgeport Mission. My dad was on the Franconia Mission Board, and I remember one afternoon, we went to visit Ivan and Anna Steinhauer. Ivan was the minister at the Bridgeport Mission. We went to visit them and took them apples and vegetables from our garden and visited them there in the city. I don't know how many of you know who I mean when I talk about Ivan Steinhauer. But Ivan Steinhauer was raised in a broken home. His parents had separated. He lived in the little town, or not little town, a big town, almost a city of Norristown in the northern suburbs of Philadelphia. And he came in contact with the ways of God and the call of God through the distribution of the Way paper. Today we have the Star of Hope or Reaching Out for You papers that sometimes you distribute. Back then, I remember they had the Way paper. I remember my family going on Sunday afternoons from home to home, passing out the Way paper. Well, I got given a Way paper from someone from the Norristown Mission that was part of the Franconia Conference, and he gave his heart to the Lord through that effort, through the mission at Norristown. He was brought into the kingdom of God through the blood of Jesus and their labors. So if you're here this evening and you know any of the Steinhauer family, that's where their beginning was with the Christian faith. The efforts of a mission, a small mission, in the city of Norristown, PA, just across the river from where the work at Bridgeport was. Just across the river was the work at the Bridgeport congregation. That was where Ivan served. That's where I found my lovely wife, and that's where we attended for the first 18 years of our marriage. In the early 1990s, we faced a hard decision with the work there in the city mission at Bridgeport. It became necessary for us to start our own Christian school because of church issues that took place when the Pilgrim Conference started. And after much discussion and decisions, it was decided to close the mission at the Bridgeport congregation, and we transferred and started the work at the Chapel congregation where we presently are. Another trophy from the Norristown mission, near the same time when Ivan Steinhauer, I believe soon after Ivan Steinhauer, became a Christian and joined the Anabaptist Church, Mennonite Church there. Another convert by the name of Bob Leister gave his heart to Jesus, became a Christian, a member of the Norristown mission. So any of you that know any of the Leister family from north central Pennsylvania, I believe Brother Aaron might go here to church. That's his great-grandpa. I remember his great-grandpa well, convert of the Norristown Mennonite mission. I'm trying to make this personal, helping us to understand that it's a great work, and sometimes we feel like we put a lot of effort into it. And what are the results? There are many. And we aren't necessarily responsible for how people respond to the gospel. We are responsible to get the gospel to them, to make them aware of what God has provided for them through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we rejoice in those who did respond, and it encourages us to press on in the great work. I remember as my girlfriend and I dated for about 2 years. During that time, we would help out with cottage meetings there from the Bridgeport Mission. And Sunday after Sunday, we would go visit an elderly woman in Norristown by the name of Elsie Saylor. Elsie Saylor had gone through a very difficult experience. I'm not sure if it was her son or her grandson got into a fight and ended up getting shot by somebody. And she told us every time we would come, I am never going to forgive that person that took my either son or grandson's life. I'll never forgive him. And we would try to help her to see that she needs to forgive him and about Jesus' love for her. And we went back there year after year. My wife and I got married, and we would get assigned to go there. And I remember after going there for like 6 or 8 years, shame on me, I started to think, why do we keep going to Elsie Saylor's house? There must be somewhere else. Someone else who might be more open to our singing and our devotional. Because every time we go there, I'll never forgive that man. Well, one day we got the wonderful message. During one of our revivals, one of our ministers took the evangelist to her house, and she changed her mind, and she says, I'm ready to forgive him. And she confessed Jesus, and she became a member of our congregation at Bridgeport. Praise the Lord! And that effort went on, I'm telling you, for 8-10 years at least. We can't give up on people. We've got the message they need. We've experienced it ourselves. And there's not a greater message to be declared. Point number 4, how to stimulate mission vision in the next generation. How do we stimulate mission vision in the next generation? I want all these points to be leading to that, but now more specifically, I wrote down here by example. We teach the best anything by example. When people can watch someone else do something, they can learn more easily how to do it themselves. Section A under how to stimulate mission vision. Share testimonies of what Christ has done in your life, my life. Christ loved me and dwells in my heart. And you have a genuine experience with God. And you're men and women of compassion and love for people. Followers of Jesus. You have Jesus in your heart. You have Jesus and God's love in your heart. Be a God-conscious person. Parents tonight, Junior and your little girl are watching. And they are noticing what is important to you in your life. Be an example of one who has a mission vision. And it will be contagious if they see that you're genuine about it, you're genuine about your Christian life, and you're genuine about sharing your testimony with the Lord, for the Lord, with people that God brings into your life. B, encourage youth to serve. We are saved to serve, all of us. Every child of God is saved to serve. There are many mission opportunities in the church, part of the brotherhood. We first of all have the responsibility as individuals, but we believe a collective group of people has even a greater benefit in going and spreading the gospel. But opportunities for youth to serve. It's important that youth are given an opportunity to serve. If we want to stimulate a mission vision in the next generation, we're going to have to give them opportunities and work alongside of them in those efforts. We have the work of the Sunday school. That takes my mind back again to my storytelling. I remember Grandpa Mack. We had a double house on the farm. He lived on the one side and our family lived on the other side. And for a couple of years, every Sunday, we would come home from church. And while we were still eating dinner, Grandpa would go across the old wooden porch and out to his car and leave. And us little children would say, "Where's Grandpa going?" And he's going up to Steel City, up near Bethlehem, PA, to help with his afternoon Sunday school lessons for the mission at Steel City, Bethlehem. That's where he was going, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. It left an impression on me, even as a small child. Grandpa's serious about this. He's willing to give his time and his energy. There was a little drive up there in those days in his old Rambler Nash. In our churches, we have children's Bible studies. I don't want to come across tonight suggesting that we aren't doing anything. But I appreciate and want to encourage for you who are involved in various aspects of mission work to continue. There's a lot of good work going on. We have the Sunday school we can involve ourselves in, our youth can be involved in. Children's Bible studies, a number of congregations have active works like that. Youth chorus, school teaching, New York for Jesus, work projects in your community, work projects abroad throughout the world, relief projects. If we're going to stimulate a mission vision in the next generation, we're going to have to give opportunities and encourage our youth to get involved. Parents, tonight. Encourage your youth to get involved. Push them out the door, if you will. Encourage them to get involved. It's rewarding. It's twofold. It blesses the lives that they touch in the mission program, and the exercise is good therapy, good spiritual therapy for all of us to testify of what the Lord has done for us. Love God, love people, serve people by example. As families and congregations, we should provide service opportunities for engagement. Service is spiritual therapy and reaches souls. C, under this section of stimulating a mission vision through example, stewardship of time and resources. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Where is my treasure tonight? Where is your treasure tonight? Where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be. There's where your focus will be. There's where you will give your first energy. Is it to help to save 8,200,000,000 people? Or is it to accumulate some of the $8,200,000,000, which is of the greatest importance? You want to teach your youth, the next generation, the importance and help them to stimulate mission vision in them? Where are your priorities? Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? If your youth, your children were here tonight and we asked them, they know. They know. Papa, yeah, he's all wrapped up in the mission of the church. Sometimes I wonder if he is really concerned about our business. And there's extremes, there's ditches on both sides. There is. I remember when I'm told I was too young to remember this particular incident. It was told years after. I remember going to the Brunk meetings. As the Brunk meetings came through the Franconia area back there in the late 50s, early 60s, I believe it was, that there was one brother in one congregation that was milking cows, and he got so involved, he went every night, and he was so enthused about it, he dumped his whole milk check in the offering plate. Bless him. But then he couldn't meet his obligations. So there's a balance in the whole thing, isn't there? But let's let God search your heart tonight. Where is your treasure? Where's my treasure? What should be our primary focus in life? Having food and raiment, let's be content. And if God gives us more than that, let's use it for his kingdom purposes. But God give us wisdom. It's a challenge for all of us. A lifestyle of godliness and simplicity is important in being an effective witness. It's the whole of life. If we live in the community and we're the elite, we're the wow place, and we drive the wow vehicles, and then we want to testify about our Lord and what Jesus has done for him, for us, and invite those people that live poorly among us and think, boy, I can't live that style. Your testimony may well be marred. It's a challenge I'd like to share. Encourage the next generation to maybe do better than what our generation has done in that. Be willing to live simply, so that you have time, resources to spread the gospel. It'll make a big difference with your family as well. A lifestyle of godliness and simplicity is important in being an effective witness and in stimulating a mission vision in the next generation. A lifestyle and standard of living speaks loudly in our communities and the focus of the next generation. If we are going to effectively reach people, it won't be by being the elite or the top tier of possessions and lifestyle in our communities, and it will impact the next generation. Be willing to live simply and be satisfied with what God gives you, having food and raiment and housing, the necessities of life. Let's give our energy to kingdom purposes. God give us all wisdom to know where to draw those lines. But where is your treasure tonight? What is the value of a soul? More than the whole world. More than the whole world. D, saved to serve. We read that verse already in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, 22. The Apostle Paul says, to the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. That was the Apostle Paul's burning desire, that he would by all means save some. Is that your desire tonight? What are we willing to sacrifice to save souls? What are we willing to sacrifice to help the next generation be stimulated, motivated to get involved in mission work? They're going to need to see it in Papa and Mama, in Grandpa and Grandma. That vision can be taught. James chapter 5 and verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. Luke 15 and verse 7, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Stimulating mission vision in the next generation is most effectively taught by example. God, search our hearts. God, search my heart. Help me to be a good example in this all-important area that God has called every one of his children to engage himself in. May God bless you.